time Sarah Vitz, the police were dispatched to the home, they were misled and told there was no such dog. They were misled. We continued our search. My dog, Risque, was listed as missing with Home Again, FIVA, and 24 Pet Watch, as well as several other nationwide Boston stolen pet agencies. She has a visible tattoo in her ear and a chip. All are registered. I also have the dog registered in Burney, Texas. She was wearing her tags when she was taken. I also had to make the heart-wrenching call to my importer and tell him that my dog was stolen, with the knowledge that he may never allow me to import another one of these valuable animals again. My importer, tops in the nation, became part of this search. We began receiving tips from individuals and local vet clinics in Sierra Vista around January of 2024 that the dog was seen with the handler in the area and that she was being treated at Coronado Veterinary Hospital. We first confirmed the full description of the handler and her address. The description matched that of the mother of my burn survivor I had given my male pup to, and we knew at this point we had a positive ID of the thief. Then I rang the clinic on myself on January myself and spoke with the attendant. I gave her Risque's chip number and general description. I explained I was the owner and the dog had been stolen some 14 months previous from Burney, Texas. She put me on hold. You can imagine my heart beating as I waited those long moments for her to return to the phone. And when she did, I was elated to hear that, yes, they had been caring for my dog. She asked that I email the office manager proof of ownership. I immediately sent Risque's import documents, her vet records, and several photographs. I was overjoyed. I finally found my beloved girl, and we would soon be reunited.
Okay, Miss Bell, I don't mean to interrupt. Yes. I appreciate your dialogue, but let's make sure we're staying focused on specifically this vet and the role
Yes, I'm going there. Yes, okay. So days passed, and I never received a call back. And when I did ring the veterinarian's office, I was treated with callous disrespect. I was treated as if I was not the owner, although I had provided all they had asked for. I had provided import documents. I had provided veterinary records. I had provided photographs of the dog, both the dog herself from every angle taken by a professional photographer. I had provided veterinary records, import documents. I had provided photographs of the dog, both by herself and with myself. All identifying documents were provided to the office manager as I was asked to do so to confirm ownership of the dog. They never rang me back. And when I called the veterinarian's office back, I was treated with callous disregard and disrespect as if I wasn't the owner of the dog. This may be my only opportunity to address Dr. Salilaco directly and to ask him to please do the right thing. And that one right thing is to return this dog to its rightful owner, and that is myself. This dog, he was misled by the handler of this dog. The handler of this dog is the mother of my burn survivor. And the handler of this dog may or may not know that she has in her possession a stolen dog. And this dog needs to come home to its rightful home, which is in Texas. And I'm asking him to do the right thing. Simple. And I've taken care of wounded military members for 25 years. Ethics runs deep in my blood. And I assume it runs deep in everyone's blood. Perhaps that's not true. But I'm asking him to please do the right thing and to contact this owner and return this pup to its rightful home, which is in Texas. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Dr. Thompson, you are the lead on this case.
Yeah, and for as much as a heartbreaking situation this is, it falls outside what the jurisdiction of this board is. We're here to determine veterinary practice and the statutes, and this is a law. A law issue. So, you know, and when we look back at the medical records, you know, they are the clinic, the respondent is being instructed by the law how to handle this. This is well outside of our purview. So my recommendation is to dismiss this case with no violation.
Second.
Now I want to make a comment. Our only authority under our statutes is the IRS 32-2239-2. Duty of veterinary to scan for the presence of a microchip, owner notification for all stray dogs, cats brought into a veterinary premise, and make a reasonable effort. And unfortunately, we're not a competent legal authority to determine are there fraudulent documents or not. Reasonable to get presented by a lawyer I mean, if it's fraudulent, it's hard for us to tell. That's going to be a matter for the police, for the bar association, for those kinds of things. So unfortunately, from what we're, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but from where we're standing, the veterinarian did adhere to our statutes, but unfortunately your legal recourse is going to be through different avenues of the legal system that we can't get into, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. So we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2493. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Ms. Belt, for joining us today. And Annalise is going to disconnect the call.
Thank you, Ms. Belt.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Good day.
Okay, we need to do another initial investigative review. We are on item number 14. 2491 in regards to Justine Schneider, DVM. Please note that Dr. James is recused on this item. And Annalise, if you will read the case summary.
Okay, case 2491. The complaint is Brittany Overman. The respondent is Justine Schneider, DVM. On November 29th, 2023, NALA, a 4-year-old intact female American pit bull presented to the respondent for roll-off discharge. An exam and diagnostics were done and a course of antibiotics were offered. The rescue and complaint approved the antibiotics. Respondent offered to vaccinate the dog and the rescue and complaint approved the vaccinations. Complaint alleges the respondent improperly administered the rabies vaccine, which led to the dog having an autoimmune response. This case went straight to the board.
Okay, and Annalise, I apologize. Do we have the complainant or the respondent in the audience?
Dr. Snyder is available.
Dr. Snyder, okay. the complainant is not here, and Dr. Snyder, if you would like to, sure. If you would like to come forward and speak, you are more than welcome to. Thank you. If you'll just state your name for the record, I appreciate you being here.
Dr. Justine Schneider.
Great, thank you. I can give you 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you. Thank you for your attention today. I have compiled a succinct list of accusations from Ms. Overman, and I would like to respond to each one. I trust you've already reviewed the provided charts, communications, and my narrative. This list is in order of her accusations. So, the first one is that I mishandled the rabies vaccine. I did administer the rabies vaccination, and in fact, on January 2nd, 2024, Ms. Overman called to tell my office manager that she had never seen a veterinarian at her visit with NALA. My office manager assured her she had seen Dr. Schneider, and Ms. Overman responded, yes, the technician, Dr. Schneider. So I think she was a little confused on that point. Number two, that this vaccination resulted in an adverse reaction and the need for immediate treatment. After the appointment, a message was taken for me from the complainant that the dog was quote-unquote crying. Before I was given the message, and just to clarify, the client is a shelter she was staying at. So my client was the shelter, okay. And she is a resident of that shelter. Okay. So before I was given the message, the shelter actually called as well. I instructed my technician to discuss signs of acute vaccine reactions and assess for those, and that the reported crying could be due to local discomfort or stress from the visit. The client and the owner were instructed to seek medical attention with us or with an ER if they had further concerns, and they both stated they would call back if there was worsening or further concerns. I'd like to point out it's the owner's responsibility to seek medical care when required, and this was not done. From this point forward, I had no communication with this owner, interactions with this case, and wasn't involved in any future communication. Her next accusation is that delaying treatment for reported vaccine-induced illness, quote-unquote, put the dog's life at risk. Again, it's on the onus of the owner to present her dog for medical treatment. The vaccines were administered despite concerns over pyometra. So I talked about this in my original narrative, but I believe I went above and beyond with diagnostics to ensure that this dog was stable. The shelter approved blood work, but I also took a stat radiograph and an ultrasound of the dog just to make sure there was no evidence of a pyometra, which there was not. I determined this dog was stable. Ms. Overman requests that the shelter pays for vet bills, and that is not a valid issue for this board. She says the dog needs a stat Coxey serum test. This was not indicated by the presentation of the dog or her blood results at this time. If it was recommended subsequently by a veterinarian, it would further support the claim that the vaccine did not cause an illness and the dog did not have pyometra at the time. The next accusation is that I over-vaccinated the dog. So I vaccinated the dog according to AHA 2022 vaccine guidelines, which are the gold standard for vaccination, that if a dog has an unknown vaccine history, go ahead and revaccinate it. She has various claims about introducing pathogens into the dog's body via vaccination and shedding those pathogens over 6 to 8 weeks. The vaccines, as you probably know, are either killed or modified live, so they are not an active, infective disease-carrying agent. And finally, that the vaccines created a serious immunocompromised illness in this dog. So unfortunately, I don't have any information about any subsequent veterinary visits, and I can't really speak to this. But we were told on December 13th by the shelter that they had not witnessed any signs that the owner's reporting and that she may be drug shopping with us. They have never said this to us about another resident since or before that, and so it did prick our ears a little bit. She did make 2 recheck appointments and canceled both of those. On 12/15, the owner called to say that the dog had a low heart rate, crunchy ears, a mass on the heart, and an abnormality with the white blood cell count. The shelter followed up to say with us that the owner had not been giving the prescribed antibiotics that I needed at the time. I was a little concerned maybe there was like a mild vaginal infection, vaginitis. At this point, communication from the owner became a bit fantastical with claims that she used to be a veterinarian.
Okay.
If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
No, I think you can go ahead and step back. Appreciate you being here. And so Dr. James is recused, and I'm going to have Dr. Nosley, because he stepped out, not vote on this either.
Okay.
So Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
So, yeah, so I'll five for form. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So going through it and looking at all this, I do agree that I don't see any actual violations from the veterinarian. Even if we had a vaccine reaction, I don't necessarily consider that the fault of the veterinarian, because there's no way to truly predict that. We did determine that there was not an open or any kind of pyometra going on at the time. My one concern is, unfortunately, the radiograph that was done, it was done, that's good. Kind of goes back to the saying of the road to Hades is paved with good intentions. We took a radiograph, we have that report in there, but not the actual radiograph itself. I know the system apparently does not keep the radiograph, but just kind of doing it, you kind of still need to adhere to that stuff. I don't see that as rising to a level of violation, in my opinion. I think the medicine provided was good. I think, like I said, it was best intentions for the doctor doing that. But it's also one of those things, even if they don't pay for it, we just got to make sure we're documenting things the right way. So in the future, just trying to figure out a way to save those things would be good, or just not do it. Because we do need to record have those as part of the monitor. Again, I don't think that goes to a violation. It's just something I wanted to bring up on future cases. But beyond there, I think everything else was handled properly. I don't see any problems here, and I'll make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Okay, my second. Motion and a second to dismiss case 2491. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for being here. Okay, does anybody want to take another quick break before we start into our informals, or can we carry on? Victoria, did you see my... okay, so if we're... good to go. No. Okay. So we are on section number 3, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. Our first one is 23-158 in regards to Darla Wright, DVM. And we are calling Dr. Wright.
Should we stop recording? And then you're going to stop recording, then when I get her on the phone, just start recording?
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Annalise, and I'm with the Arizona State Veterinary Board. I'm looking for Dr. Darla Wright, if she's available.
Yes, ma'am. Give me just one moment.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Wright. This is Annalise with the Arizona State Veterinary Board. I'm going to hand you over to our chairperson, Ms. Krieger, and she's going to kind of go over some stuff for your informal interview, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.